Hey, it's Lisa. Thanks for joining us for another year of the Work-Life Equation. As we head to the end of 2019, we're wrapping up by talking about the holidays. So we asked two of our early childhood experts, what can you do to make the holidays more meaningful for your family?
You're listening to the Work-Life Equation, the Bright Horizons podcast for busy working families. Whether you're a working mom, a dad, or you're busy caring for other family members, we've got tips for how to fit jobs and families together, for how to make your work-life equation add up.
Actually, I was listening to the radio and I heard a commercial for a face mask that promised to reduce the stress of holidays.
Okay, where can we buy that? That's Debbie Hoppe, a member of our Bright Horizons curriculum development team.
Having children, you feel like there's so much that you have to do and trying to keep up with, you know, what everyone else is doing.
And that's Melanie Brooks, another senior member of our education team.
I'm feeling like I want to be more like them and being in the moment and being present and follow their lead in that way.
Both of them are summing up what most of us already know about the holidays, that they make us a little crazy. And here's the thing, it plays out for kids too.
My daughter, I have a six-year-old, and you would think, you know, seeing Christmas stuff would get her excited, but just this weekend there was a commercial that came on that was advertising all the Christmas shows and movies that they're going to show. And she was like, what? It's not even Christmas yet. And I was like, I know.
My children articulate just that. We're in this perpetual rush to the next moment. And summer's still going on and there's back to school ads. And then September started and there's ads for Christmas. My children call that out all the time. And they say to me, why do we have to push ahead? Why can't we just enjoy where we are right now? And my children are older, so they can articulate that. But young children, they can't articulate that. And even more so, they're engaged in a moment. They are not looking ahead. They live for the moment that they are in.
Well, so let's talk about the holidays a little bit. Let's talk about a way to set the pause button on this. How can we be present in the holidays? And what can we do for young children developmentally to establish that?
Yeah. Well, when my daughter was about two or three, it was sort of the first time that she was immersed in receiving presents. And she opened the first present and she stopped. And she started playing with whatever was in that wrapper, whether it be the box or the toy or whatever it was, I don't remember. And all the adults around her kept saying, well, why don't you open this one and open this one? And my daughter picked up what she had just opened and walked away from everybody and sat and played with that. And I think, you know, that was so telling. She was telling us what she needed at that moment.
Yeah, I think for us, the slowing down piece is so important. And I like what you're asking about developmentally appropriate. For Halloween, my children make their own costumes. There's planning that happens as far as design and, you know, they figure out what they want to be. And then we go to the craft store and get materials and like really kind of slowing down the process. And they're so excited. The fact that we really took our time and I provided them opportunities to be creative. And, you know, I think that that makes this a lot more meaningful for us. And that's probably why she's like, it's not Christmas yet. We're still in Halloween.
When you said meaningful, that's a really important word. So people really do want to put meanings back in their holidays.
Absolutely. I think this is when it's a good time to kind of look at what's going on in your community. A lot of times there are community events or celebrations that are available that you could, you know, think about taking your children to that would expose them to other cultures, and whether it's thinking about food or artifacts or clothing, something that might be different than what they experience in the home. And I always think it's better when it is shared firsthand from people of that culture. A lot of times, too, there are things that just happen in the past traditionally that, you know, I think about my own reflection of my childhood experiences. And around Thanksgiving, we always had to make what the teacher called Indian hats and feathers. And I didn't understand at that time, like what that was all about, but it was me making that association with this particular holiday. And now being older and being more aware and realizing that that probably wasn't the best practice for me as a child to be able to really understand anything about the Thanksgiving holiday in a way that's meaningful.
Have you done anything with your own daughter that you found particularly meaningful during the holidays on that order?
I think we focus on not the commercial piece of the holidays, but kind of digging to the root of, you know, well, what is this really about? And especially around Thanksgiving, we put up a poster and everyone that comes to dinner, my daughter likes, she draws a turkey and she cuts out feathers and she passes out the feathers and everyone writes things that they're thankful for on the feathers. And then she puts them up on the turkey. So giving her some opportunity to, again, use that creativity, but then also going back to what's meaningful about that holiday and bringing everyone together to share that is a tradition that we have found helps my children with thinking about what's really true and meaningful about that holiday.
I'll give you an example that I just happened to have heard this morning of a man from upstate New York who's just written a children's book. And the reason that he wrote it is because he is part indigenous. And he said that you can find a lot of books, children's books about historical figures like Pocahontas. But for families like his, there were not images in children's books of people like them just going to school, just being part of the community. They were always very, I don't know if stereotyped is the word that he used, but is that something that you can also introduce to your children this time of year?
Yes, I have to agree with him in thinking about stories that just tell everyday life stories with folks from different cultures. I think being aware of that is something that I think about quite a bit when I'm selecting books and literature for my children, and especially things that reflect us from the African American community, making sure that the books aren't always about struggle or, you know, conflict within that culture, but just everyday life experiences so that they don't associate, again, like you said, to the stereotypes that there are only certain things that happen with certain cultures.
And I also think, you know, when we focus only on holidays, we do shortchange everybody by giving such a limited bird's eye view of who people are.
You know, as we're all making our way through the holidays and we're trying to embrace our own traditions and respect others, how do you incorporate this in your own routine in a way that works in your own life, but that gives the holidays that extra something special?
I think the biggest part is, what are the values that you want your children to, you know, have or associate with that specific holiday or celebration, and letting that really be the root of it. And I think when you do that, it just simplifies it so much more, and it really peels away the layers of so much of what we see, whether it's through commercials or whatever it is, to really get back to the core of what your family values are and what your family culture is, and let that be the driving force. Then it doesn't really become something extra. It just kind of becomes, you know, who you are.
Yeah, I think that's such a great idea, Melanie. I think the idea of creating a tradition that's special to you and your family in concert with your children, whatever that tradition might be, and keeping it small and simple. It doesn't have to be something big and grandiose. Just what is the small, those small bits that you built into each holiday that you all look forward to?
Are we saying that, you know, when we're trying to inject more meaning, are we saying that the commercial part is necessarily bad or it should be banished completely?
I think trying to avoid it is not necessarily realistic. But I think, you know, as a family, as a person, you sort of have to build what feels comfortable to you. You know, how much of that can you handle? How much of that feels good to you? Some people thrive on certain commercial aspects of holidays and they can handle more of it. And others, you know, sort of need a retreat from that. So it's sort of figuring out what that balance is in your family and being true to that balance.
I think that's right. I think you get to be the one to make the decision and have that control. And there will be things around you that happen. I think about, like, for St. Patrick's Day, my daughter, when she was younger, came home upset because her friends at school said they get chocolate gold coins that the leprechaun brought and they had to find them. I'm like, that wasn't a tradition in my family. So that was completely unfamiliar to me. But I also was like, well, that's how they celebrate. That's not our tradition. But I could have fallen into, oh gosh, well, now we need to start doing that. So I think you get to be the one in control and decide, like Debbie said, how much of that you want to incorporate or not.
I think you've pretty much given the whole background on Elf on a Shelf.
Exactly. The elf does not live on our shelf, but other people's shelves for sure.
I think that's by we're helping our children to understand that every family has unique qualities and celebrates different holidays and celebrates the same holidays differently. They can understand that this is what my family does. This is based on my beliefs, my traditions. And this is what, you know, my friend down the street is doing based on their family beliefs, values, and traditions. And that's okay. Right? We all can have different approaches.
You know, one of the other things that strikes me about this from a working parent perspective is that this time of year when it's so busy and somehow or another deadlines always seem to line up around the holidays as well as, you know, holiday deadlines, there's something gratifying about getting all the things that you have to get done finished. It becomes like a mission. And this seems like it is a mindful way for families on the job and at home to take a step back from that.
It is hard. And there's all these images out there of how to bake the most delicious cookies or wrap the presents in, you know, the most spectacular of wrappings. And we just have to let go of these ideal images that are pushed upon us. Our children aren't looking for that. And when we release ourselves from that, we can reengage in the joy.
I agree. I think we put that on ourselves, but going back to the children and them being in the present and the story that Debbie shared at the beginning about her daughter just playing with that first, she was totally fine with that first toy and opening up and exploring that. But we're the ones that feel like, oh, they need more and we've got to add this and this. But when we really go back to putting the child at the center of what we're thinking about, and again, going back to the values, it does make that to-do list a lot shorter.
Gift wrapping, to your point, has really become like the bento box lunch of the holidays. People really engage in competitive gift wrapping, don't they?
It's just everywhere. So it's no wonder we feel the pressure.
So do you have some final thoughts about what this means for parents and for families at work and at home?
I think if we can just try and look at this time of year, take the perspective of your child, think about what will bring them true joy, you know, not just superficial joy, what will bring your family peace and what feels right to you all, and really make that your mission to hold fast to. And build some time into this, you know, if it starts feeling hectic and crazy, take some time with nature, perhaps take a hike, or a lot of people do have a tradition where they take a walk on certain holidays just to, you know, sort of regroup. So think about what that might look like for your family and what things you might want to build into your celebrations that will keep you balanced.
I agree with that as well. I think the kind of final thought in holidays for me is just being present, taking the perspective of your child. You know, how can we slow down and be present like them and not stressing ourselves out trying to figure out what's the next thing on our to-do list?
We hope you enjoyed Debbie and Melanie's perspective. I'm Lisa Oppenheimer. Happy holidays, everyone.
If you like what you heard today, get more of our podcast by subscribing. While you're downloading, let us know what you thought or give us a share. Thanks to everyone for being here. We look forward to seeing you next time as we help make the work-life equation add up.